Well, good evening, friends. Let me give you a warm welcome to our mission meeting tonight. We're thinking about the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, and we're delighted to have our brother Graham Biston once again with us. Well, let's come and seek God's face in prayer. Let us pray. Our great and most glorious and majestic Lord, we do thank you that we are found in your presence this evening, rejoicing in your great love and mercy towards us. How we thank you for that mercy which reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness that reaches to the clouds. We thank you that we can rejoice in, Lord, your goodness to us, your great mercy, your wonderful love that never changes. And how we thank you for that love that has been revealed to us in that mighty gift of a Saviour, even Jesus Christ the righteous. How we thank you for him whom you sent forth in the fullness of the times to seek and to save those who were lost, to redeem us from death and destruction. Lord, the one who became a propitiation for us, who has turned away all your wrath and righteous anger. And we thank you that through him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of your grace. We thank you, Lord God, that you loved us even before this world began. And how we thank you, Lord, that having formed us from the clay, Lord, then you provided for us a wonderful salvation. Lord, that we might be reconciled and restored and redeemed, that we might come into your presence as your special children. Lord, how we thank you for that great love that has been lavished upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not only chosen to save and rescue us from our sins, but also, Lord God, to seat us amongst princes. Lord, to take us up into your family, to adopt us as your sons and your daughters. And how we thank you that you have sent forth the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. How we thank you for this wonderful mercy. And how we thank you, Lord God, that your love, Lord God, is so wide, it's so deep, it's so broad, it's so long, we can never, Father, exhaust the great dimensions of the love of Christ to me. And we thank you tonight, O Lord, that we can come into the sanctuary and enter your gates with thanksgiving and enter your court with praise. We thank you that you are our creator and sustainer, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. And we come tonight as the sheep of your pasture and the work of your hands. And we thank you that we can cast ourselves upon you tonight. And Lord, seek you, Lord, that you might indeed reveal, Lord, something more of yourself to us. We thank you that you are a God of revelation, a God who has made yourself known to us in the Holy Scriptures. And how we thank you for those holy men of old who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We thank you that, Lord, we have your word this evening, that inscripturated word that has been breathed out of your wonderful mouth. And we thank you for the way that you have preserved the sacred text of Scripture over so many generations. And we thank you that we can take up this book tonight and know that it is in truth the very word of the living God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have spoken, that you have condescended to reveal yourself to us in this marvelous way. We thank you, Lord God, that you have revealed yourself to us in creation. We thank you that this world, this creation, is a theatre in which you display your glory. And yet we thank you that we see your glory, Lord, in its highest degree, in the work of redemption. And through the work of your Son, who is that living word. We thank you, Lord God, that through him you have spoken to us finally and conclusively in these last days. And we thank you for him who is head of the church and Lord of all, and the one who reigns over us, and the one who is our coming King. And we thank you for the one who dwells too in our hearts in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice, Lord God, in this great mercy towards us. Lord, come to us tonight, we pray, as, Lord, we look again into your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit, who authored the Scriptures, Lord, might be our teacher tonight. May he come, Lord God, Lord, to your servant, and as he opens up your ancient text, so may the Holy Spirit, Lord, inspire and illuminate our minds and hearts, we pray. Grant, O God, that we may indeed know that wonderful blessing of that spiritual illumination, that we may behold our Saviour in the sacred text, that we may see him in every verse, the one, O Lord, who is the spirit of prophecy, and the one who is the central theme and message, the very word of God himself. O Lord, may indeed our attention be directed to him, and may we seek to glorify and exalt his name together. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we hear of the ongoing work of the translation of the scriptures and the, Lord, dissemination of your word to the ends of the earth, we pray, Lord, that our hearts may rejoice, Lord, as we consider, Father, this instrument through which you are bringing, Lord, many sons to glory, many out of darkness into that marvelous light. We thank you for your word that is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, your word that is like a hammer. We thank you too that it is sweet to our taste, sweeter than honey, even the honeycomb. And we thank you too, O Lord, that it is forever established in the heavens. Lord, we thank you for this word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord God, grant, O God, that we may rejoice as we consider, Lord, your powerful word at work in the world tonight. And we pray that you would prosper that word and send it forth to the ends of the world. And grant, O God, that it would not return to you empty, but as you have promised, Lord, that it may indeed prosper and bear fruit and produce that mighty harvest to the glory of your wonderful name. Lord, be with us, we pray, and fill our hearts with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And may we go out with joy tonight and be led forth with peace, because we ask these things with the forgiveness of our many sins, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're going to turn to the reading of the Word of God, and our reading is found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're reading from verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end. So reads the infallible word of God. Well, it is a great joy to have a return visit from our dear brother Graham Bidston, representing the Lord's work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. We're glad that you've been able to come to us this year, and we look forward now to your ministry to us. Thank you.
Well, I do thank you for your welcome. It's a joy to be with you tonight. I've got a text that I want to leave with you before I finish, and it's found in Psalm 119, and it's verse 105, which is a very well known verse, and I don't want to take up time in preaching. I want to set this before you as simply as I can. Thy word, Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, says the psalmist. It's a well known verse. There is obviously contained within those well known words the idea, the thought of a journey, of a man making a journey. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But what are the principles contained? We can easily quote, we have our favourite texts, well known texts that we quote regularly, but what are the principles contained within the text? So often all we ever do is just quote, and the actual working out of the thing we don't go into. But it seems to me that there's something here that's very, very practical for us. What are the principles that are taught in the text? If we look at the context, just the immediately preceding few verses. Look, for instance, at verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Take that phrase and keep it in your mind, every false way. Again, the thought is of a way, of a journey, of a pathway. Every false way. Go back to 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Every false way, every evil way. Thought is the same. Go back to 98, verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Mine enemies. Every false way, every evil way, mine enemies. And one other, verse 95, you can go way, way back and take the whole psalm as the context. 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. So taking just those four verses and the thoughts contained in those four verses, which lead us to the text, we have these phrases, words and phrases, the wicked, mine enemies, every evil way, every false way. So that here is a man, when he comes to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here is a man who has seen himself on some sort of journey, some sort of pathway, and sees himself in a situation that demands that he speaks as he does in the text. So it's not just a nice sounding, trite phrase that he utters here. It's something that really has been wrung out of him as he's seen the situation in which he is. That there are evil, wicked men, evil doers. There is such a thing as evil ways, false ways. And it's in the light of that that he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As though to express a confidence in God's provision, even as he is in this situation. Now, what are we being told? What are the principles, I ask again, that underlie the text? What does this mean for us today, in other words? Surely this means something to us. And it seems to me that there are four things that we can say. Four things really that stand out if we're to attempt to get underneath the words and see why he spoke the words. The first, quite clearly, is that we are being told here by the psalmist that the world in which he lives, and therefore still true of us, the world in which we live today, is in darkness. Yes, that's obvious, isn't it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's that got to do with wicked men, with evildoers, with false ways, with evil ways? Well, the world is in darkness. There's a darkness. And that's why he says what he says. The world in which we live is in darkness. Now, he's not talking, if we come and develop this and bring out the spiritual meaning and the spiritual application, we're not talking about electric light and it or its lack. We're talking here about something that is a spiritual darkness. We're talking here about what the Apostle Paul refers to in that classic Ephesians 6 where he outlines the Christian armour. We're talking about the darkness of this world, which is a spiritual darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness, the darkness of this world. And we need to recognize again today, and I hope that this doesn't sound you know, way, way beyond and way above you. I hope you're happy with this. I hope you're familiar with this. I hope you agree with me on this. We are living in a dark world. There are some so-called Christians who are so happy-clappy that they would have you believe that really the world's a wonderful place to live in. We're living in a desperately dark and evil world. And this wonderful text, this well-known text, reminds us of that. Reminds us, quoting again from Scripture, that men still love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That was true in the Bible day. It's still true today. And what the psalmist is saying here when he makes this statement is, the world is in darkness. And in the darkness, all manner of evil is committed. That's the world. That's our world today. Can we not see it? Those of us, there isn't anybody here tonight, I suppose, who's as old as me. Am I the oldest person in the room? Dear me. Well, if I am, okay. But some of you are not all that far behind me. Think back. Think back. Hasn't there been a huge deterioration in our day? And even some of you younger ones. You surely, if you could think, were you Christian 10 years ago? Some of you who were, say, Christians up to 10 years ago, have you noticed a deterioration since then? Of course you have. A year ago, deterioration now. This world in which we live is a dark world. And that's the first thing that the text reminds us of. Good to be reminded of these things that we may think are so obvious. But there is a challenge in all of this. Therefore, surely his words, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, suggest that because the world in which we live is a dark world, it's in darkness indeed, the world therefore is a place of great danger to us. You see, again, we don't understand this, do we? Because we're used to electricity, we're used to the lights. On my regular visits to South Wales over the years, and I'm thankful, I think the Welsh ladies are not here, are they? No, I hope not. But it just so happens that Wales is an illustration of this. I can remember two places, two chapels on the hillside in the back of beyond, where everything is pitch. And to make things worse, the toilet is outside. And so they say to you, you go outside, turn left, turn right, and it's there. But of course you can't see anything. All you know is you're in the approximate direction. And where we usually stay, in Thelma Jenkins Cottage on the Brecon Beacons, it's pitch. And I come in sometimes 11:30 at night, and I'm walking like this, can't see a thing. Can't see it. It's wonderful during the day. But in the night, the number of times I've hit a wall, cracked my shin, place of great danger. Now that's a silly illustration, but you see the point. In the dark, there are dangers that are not there in the light. And isn't this what the psalmist is saying? He is acknowledging this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I need it. And a light unto my path. In the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, where Paul speaks of the wonderful fact of Christians who have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. He says they are translated out of the power of darkness. Translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And that's exactly it, I think. That the darkness, the evil, exerts a certain power. And I'm referring now to the spiritual principle that underlies this. And if we understand the text at all, we understand that the psalmist is acknowledging this, that there are dangers. Therefore, and again, I trust I'm speaking to people who all would agree with me on this, if you acknowledge that the world is a sinful, evil, dark place, you must go further and acknowledge it's dangerous for you. We can't just treat lightly the things of the world today. When When I was a new Christian in Liverpool years and years and years ago, you used to hear the elderly people talking constantly. We didn't understand what they were talking about separation. They didn't mean man and wife separating, they meant Christians being separated from the world. And we were brought up in this. We didn't understand it. We didn't always agree with it. But we were taught it. That you were different. You're meant to be different. You must keep apart. You must keep separate. Why? Well, this is dangerous apart from anything else. And I wonder if that's not a battle that we've got to fight all over again today. That we're living in a dangerous world. Because it's a dark world. Now, these things are bad. These things are... they make us think, but it's not all, is it? The third fact that the text tells us is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist is saying that in this dark world, this dangerous world, I've got to walk through it. What he means, of course, the spiritual meaning underneath it is he's living a life. There's nowhere else to go. We don't believe in monasteries and nunneries, and is there such a thing as monkeries? There probably isn't. Well, I've just made it up. We don't believe in these things. We don't believe that we can be set apart. We don't leave the world until the Lord calls us to leave the world and to go to be with him. Until then, we're in the world. You remember in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17, he prays at one point, he says that I'm leaving the world, but these are in the world. And yet he goes on to say that I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He recognizes what he's saying was to his father, to his holy father. They're living in an evil, dark world, and it's a dangerous place for them, but they've got to remain there. You keep them in that danger. And here is the psalmist. And when he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, he is acknowledging the fact that I've got to live in this world. I'm in this world. I see these things. I see the wicked. I see the evil men. I see the false way. I hate every false way. I hate it all, but I've got to live in it. And he is acknowledging life is a journey. We can't stand still. We've got to live. We've got to be what we are. We've got to witness to our Lord. How can we see in the dark? We can't see in the dark. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we must have light in the dark. It's obvious. It's natural. It's easy. Well, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all, we read. Well, we must have God. We must go to the source of light. We must call upon God to give his light. And the wonderful thing that we're being reminded of course, is not just that God does and that he will give his light, but that he has. And that's the whole point. That's what the psalmist is saying. The world is a dark place, yes. On one occasion, 2 Peter 1:19, Peter speaking there about God's word describes it like this, as a light that shineth in a dark place. The world is a dark place, but the word of God is a light that shines in a dark place. And therefore the fourth point that the text brings before us is that God's word, and God's word alone, is the light for the dark world in which we live. Now you see, there's nothing that you will hear that's more practical than that. This is the practical relevance and worth and value of the word of God. It's for us as we walk through this sinful, evil world. It's both lamp and light. I don't know what is the difference in those two terms. Commentators have argued it down through the years. I don't know what the difference is. But all I know is that what we're being told is surely that at all times, in whatever situation, God's word is light. Doesn't that shame us, some of us, all of us, as to how little use we make of the word of God? Quick read here and a quick read there, just a couple of minutes more maybe before going to bed. And God's word is light in this dark world in which we live. It is by God's appointing light. That's what the psalmist is telling us. It has been given by God precisely for this purpose. It is a lamp. It is a light that shineth in a dark place. It was made to do the job that we need today. It was made for that. But not only is it by God's appointing, it's to be by the psalmist's choosing. And if you note the way he goes on, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." What he's saying is not just that God has given me, "Lord, you've given me this word, but I take it. I take it. I choose it. It's mine." And I wondered again if that's not a great challenge to us. Here is a man who's determined to walk through an evil world and live according to the truth of the Word of God. Once upon a time, believers, whoever they were known to be men and women of the book. The great mark of the church was Scripture. Not tradition, Scripture. But I wonder now how much harder it is to find this even among professing Christians. There are so many Christians who blithely talk about the things they don't believe in the Word of God, and they're quick to talk about those things and slow to talk about the things that they do believe. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is to be a lamp and to be a light for us. Oh, that we might say with the psalmist, "Yes, Lord, I have sworn. I will perform it. I will stand upon it. I will trust in your word." The psalmist had earlier asked, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And his answer was, "By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." He then went on, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." This is at the very beginning of the psalm, verses 9, verse 11. May that be ours. May that be our experience. May that be our testimony. May we be able to say it not to one another, but to our Lord. "Lord, we know the significance of this. We realize the relevance. We're hiding your word in our hearts. That no matter what others do, that we might not sin against thee." May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for that, Graham. Pray, Father, we do thank you for the work of TBS. We thank you for the way that your word is so freely, Lord, given and distributed to the various needs. We thank you, Father, for these Arabic Bibles and those, Lord, that have gone, Lord, into the Farsi language, and we do pray, Lord God, that you would cause your word, Father, to bring that light to those in darkness, Lord, in Iran and places like Afghanistan. We do pray, Lord God, that these countries may be full of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to do it, and we thank you that no, Lord, philosophy, no religion, no, Lord, human barrier can prevent your word. We thank you, Lord God, that though people have tried to destroy it and get rid of it, yet we thank you that it is that enduring word, the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And we do thank you, Lord God, for the way that, ways have been made to produce your word, Lord, in forms that, Lord, are virtually indestructible. We thank you, Lord God, for these, Lord, the Bibles, Lord, in Russia, and we thank you for the way that people have been able to hide them away, Lord, under persecution, Lord, even in their stews. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the means that are being used, Lord God, that your word may, Lord, flourish in these countries, and we do pray that you will bless those, Lord, who are taking Bibles, Lord, into these places. We do pray, Lord God, for that Irish pig farmer. We thank you for his zeal, Lord God, and his love for your truth, and Lord God, how your word burns within him. And Lord, we do pray, Father, for the ministry of your word there in Ghana and these other places, Lord God, where, Lord, Bibles are being distributed and calendars. Lord, continue to use, Father, all these means, we pray, and grant, Lord God, that there may be light, Father, in the darkness. Lord, that light, Father, or Lord, shining into people's hearts, bringing them, Lord, into that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.